Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Pilgrim Devotion. I am your host, Pastor Michael Howard. I am the senior pastor of Seaford Baptist Church, and this is a podcast for anyone who is inside or who is outside of Seaford Baptist Church, living the pilgrim life, representing the kingdom of God in the kingdom of man. This week, we are talking Southern Baptist Convention, so I hope you're ready. I hope you're doing well. I hope you've had a great week, and I hope you're in the mood for some good old-fashioned denominational polity. I know we're not a denomination, we're a convention, so conventional polity. There you go. This is that time of the year where we're gearing up for the annual meeting of Southern Baptists. It happened in New Orleans last year. This year, it is happening in Indianapolis. I did not go last year. I am going this year. So it is, when is it? I should know. I'm going. It's June the 9th through the 11th or 12th. June the 9th through the 12th. I think that I am correct in saying that. So June the 9th through the 12th, SBC 2024 in Indianapolis. I'm excited to go back to Indianapolis. I was there in 2017 when I went to the Gospel Coalition, their national conference with my wife. We loved it. It was great, man. It was like a clean city, good food to eat, just a lot to do. There's little colleges around if you want to see them, you know, kind of get more of that atmosphere. There's the downtown atmosphere. It's a great place. I love Midwesterners, man. I love Midwestern people. What can I say? Like, listen, I'm born below the Mason-Dixon line. I'm born below D.C., Virginia is technically the South, but when I meet people from like Arkansas and Alabama and stuff, and they move up here, they're like, "Yeah, this is not the South." So we are kind of in no man's land here, you know, in Virginia. We're certainly not the North either. But I like my friends to the North and the South. But man, when you just drive out to the Midwest, these people are wonderful. They're wonderful. A couple years ago, I went to Ohio with a friend of mine, Canton, Ohio, with my friend Kenny Van Horn to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We were just blown away by how nice these people were. And I felt the same way about Indianapolis. So I'm excited to go back to Indianapolis. I'm excited to be back in the Midwest. And I'm excited for SBC 2024. Now, whatever, I'm not saying that these are the two things that should be in the limelight and should be the most important things at SBC 2024. There may be other issues that you think should be getting more attention. Certainly, we could have that conversation about the sexual abuse issue and how it should get more attention. But in reality, when SBC 2024 wraps up on June the 13th and they're talking around the water coolers at Southern Baptist churches nationwide, worldwide, when the news articles are written and the podcasts are recorded and the YouTube cameras go on, they're going to be talking about two things. Who is the president of the SBC? And they're going to be talking about the law amendment. And so I kind of want to deal with these over the next couple of weeks. I think next week we'll do the SBC president episode. There's six different candidates who have a shot at becoming the president of the SBC. Let's see if I can pull up these names. David Allen, Bruce Frank. Some of these names may come up even in our conversation today. Mike Keybone. That's a fun one. That's a fun name. K-E-A-H-B-O-N-E. Mike Keybone. Jared Moore, Clint Presley, and Dan Spencer. So we'll spend a little time going through all the different candidates next week and talk about who they are, what they've done, you know, kind of. The SBC is a big tent. It's got a lot of different groups within that tent, and SBC presidents tend to be representative of those groups. So we'll see who represents which group, which tribe, if you will. But today I really want to talk about the law amendment, and you may not know what the law amendment is, and so let me explain that to you. And I am using a few different articles I have laid out in front of me. Joe Carter's article he wrote for the Gospel Coalition about the law amendment a couple of years ago. Actually, I think he wrote it last year. We have the article put out just recently. This was done by Heath Lambert from First Baptist Jacksonville regarding the law amendment. I found it to be really helpful. I actually got this guy named Robert Hefner from Pleasant Garden Baptist Church in North Carolina. Just, you know, pastor of a local church you'd probably never even know existed unless you stumbled upon it, you know, in person or on the SBC.net, you know, church directory or something. But just, you know, just a guy educated in Southern Baptist seminaries, pastors of Southern Baptist Church, his thoughts on the law amendment. They've all been helpful to me. Those are the main things that I have read. Also read a little bit of J.D. Greer and something that he wrote, I think it was last year, regarding this amendment. So maybe you've heard about the law amendment and you didn't know what it was. You didn't want to ask because you didn't want to, you know, somebody to look at you and be like, you don't know what the law amendment is? Maybe you don't know at all what I'm talking about. Maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about. So, but let me review just a little bit, just so we all are on the same page. At the 2022 annual meeting of Southern Baptists, which, again, to assume nothing, if you don't know what Southern Baptist annual meeting is, once a year, the Southern Baptist Convention meets together in a forum where its messengers, which are voting delegates from SBC churches, they come together, these messengers, to make decisions on important issues and to vote. And so they vote on things like constitutional amendments. They vote on things like the who is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And a motion was made at the 2022 meeting to amend the constitution of the Southern Baptist Convention in the portion of the Constitution where it's talking about, you know, what is the criterion that's going to be used to deem a church to be in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention. And Mike Law wanted to change it to read that the Southern Baptist Convention would not affirm a church that is, or would not deem a church to be in friendly cooperation who affirms a woman pastor of any kind. And so this was referred to the SBC Executive Committee. Mike Law himself, in a letter that he wrote to the Executive Committee, explained the reason why he felt like this motion was, or this amendment to the Constitution was necessary. He said, "Personally, I felt the need to offer this amendment because five Southern Baptist churches, roughly within a five-mile radius of my own congregation, are employing women as pastors of various kinds." By the way, he's a Virginia pastor, Northern Virginia, Arlington Baptist. So he says, including women serving as senior pastor, many others have found that a number of Southern Baptist churches appoint, affirm, or employ women as pastors in their areas too. These churches often use a modified title, co-pastor, worship pastor, women, children's pastor, discipleship pastor, or youth pastor, but all trade on the office of pastor. Article 3 of the SBC Constitution lists 5 points that place churches within the definition of cooperation with the SBC. The amendment would add a new requirement to Article 3 stating that the SBC will only cooperate with churches that affirm, appoint, or employ only men as any kind of pastor or elder as qualified by Scripture. Okay, I'm actually going to see if I can bring up the SBC Constitution right now. I could have done this before we came on the air, but what fun would that have been, right? So I'll see if I can pull it up. Specifically Article 3. So that's our state convention. All right, I'm getting it pulled up. While I am working on that, let me keep talking. So some people support this, some people do not support this. In order for it to happen, it's going to have to pass a two-thirds majority vote this year. That already happened once. In order for the Constitution to be amended, there has to be a vote on that Constitution in two successive annual meetings. So in New Orleans, 2023, it took place, and there will now be another vote this year. And if this vote passes by two-thirds majority or more, then the Constitution will be amended. So right now it says the convention will only deem a church to be in friendly cooperation with the convention and sympathetic with its purposes and work, i.e. a cooperating church, which one has a faith in practice which closely identifies with the convention's adopted statement of faith. By way of example, churches which act to affirm, approve, or endorse homosexual behavior would be deemed not in cooperation with the convention. Two, has formally approved its intention to cooperate with the Southern Baptist Convention. Three, has made undesignated financial contributions through the cooperative program and through the convention's executive committee for convention causes or to any convention entity during the fiscal year preceding. So, anyways, it goes on to talk about some other things. The convention will recognize additional messengers from a cooperating church. Messengers shall be appointed. It's talking about what the messengers do. Law wants to add in this language that would say the convention will only deem a church to be in friendly cooperation, which also affirms, appoints, or employs only men as any kind of pastor or elder as qualified by Scripture. I think the amendment was amended in a friendly way last year by Juan Sanchez at SBC 2023 in New Orleans, but this is what is out there now. The specific language affirms, appoints, or employs only men as any kind of pastor or elder as qualified by Scripture. So some people support this, some people do not support this, and it is contentious, we would say, coming into the convention. I don't think people are, like, you know, ready to come to blows over this, but certainly there is disagreement from big movers and shakers in the convention all the way down to disagreement between pastors of, you know, local churches and areas like the one we live in here in Hampton Roads and on the peninsula. I have been to meetings where there are pastors who are at least questioning whether or not we should support the law amendment. And I've been to meetings where everybody pretty much is in support of the law amendment. So, cards on the table. I'll just tell you up front, because you'd probably pick up on it throughout the conversation here. I do support the law amendment, okay? I do think that we should amend the SBC Constitution. By the way, the SBC Baptist Faith and Message was already amended last year, which it's easier to amend the Faith and Message than it is to amend the Constitution. And that actually alarmed some people, and I understand that's going to be addressed this year as well. But on June 14th, 2023, there was a vote at New Orleans to amend the Baptist Faith and Message. So now the Baptist Faith and Message reads, while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor, elder, overseer is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. Now, why do some people think it's not enough that it's there in the Baptist Faith and Message? We need to latch the door. Why do I think that it would be important to do that? Well, Joe Carter, in his article on the Gospel Coalition website, he lists out a few reasons as to why someone would feel this way. Number one, it's a theological conviction born from Scripture, right? What we see in the Baptist Faith and Message, that while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, and both men and women are equal, from the Scriptures, we believe that the office of pastor, elder, overseer is limited to men, and not just limited to any man, but limited to a man that is called and qualified. So that's there in the Baptist Faith and Message because we believe it is there in the Scriptures. And we believe it's clear in the Scriptures. And because it's clear in the Scriptures, I think it should be clear in our Constitution and clear in the Baptist Faith and Message. And when it comes to this vote, I don't want to vote against something that I think is bringing clarity and bringing clarity on something that's important, especially in this age where we're talking so much about gender and in this age where feminism really is the air we breathe. I think it's important. And since it's clear in Scripture, in this vote, like, I don't want to vote no when I think it's amendment that is doing nothing but helping us see what is clear in Scripture and helping us make sure that what is clear in Scripture is embedded in, you know, foundational documents of our convention. So, yeah, it's theological conviction. It is the issue of clarity that SBC has kind of a rocky history with this word pastor, and that not everybody in the SBC totally understands what it means. So let's just be really clear about what a pastor is and who should hold the office. Here's Al Mohler at the Kenwood Institute earlier this year talking about Southern Baptists and the word pastor. I think I'm at the right point in the clip here.
We don't have to deal with that. We understand that. That expresses the conviction of the SBC, and we will move on together.
You were on the committee in 2000 that penned the Baptist Faith and Message. Was it unclear in 2000 what pastor meant?
No, and this is a little bit of a frustration for me, in that I did not want just to use the word pastor in 2000. I think it's...
He would have wanted to use overseer and elder as well, which the Baptist Faith and Message now has represented. Those words are represented in it. But he would have wanted to use those words as well.
Fair to say that. I don't think I'm violating any confidence. I liked the more comprehensive New Hampshire Confession of Faith language. But there were some, including the chairman of the committee, Dr. Adrian Rogers, who, absolutely dear friend to me. And so I say this only with deepest respect. He didn't like the word elder. And because he associated it with the Bible church and that form of...
Something not Southern Baptist.
Well, and frankly, not something that most Southern Baptists would see as an elder either.
But on this note...
So you can see how there's kind of this like patchy history with the word pastor and Southern Baptists. And because of that, this just brings us some clarity that ultimately I believe will produce more unity within the convention. Carter brings up protecting the next generation. I call this the latch on the door. Like I just said, this issue of gender isn't going away. There's going to be increasing pressures on a theologically conservative convention like ours to capitulate to culture on these issues, all issues regarding gender. And as complementarians who believe men and women are equal but have different roles in the church and in the home, when there's this pressure to capitulate and to give up complementarianism, which I have a theological conviction that drives me to be complementarian, so we would say giving up theological and scriptural convictions that we have. Again, a theological conviction born from scripture, right? So it's ultimately a scriptural conviction. When there's going to be this increasing pressure on future generations of Southern Baptists to give into that pressure and to give up their scriptural complementarianism, in light of that, let's help them out by putting them in a position to stand on the word of God by putting this in the Constitution so that they can see this is important and it was important to those who came before us. And it was important to them because of what the scriptures say. And it was so important to them, they amended the Baptist Faith and Message and they amended the Constitution. It's just, again, it's a latch on the door that makes it, you know, more sure that in future generations, we will remain theologically conservative on this issue. Joe Carter also brings up how it will help uphold Baptist history and identity, that some people support the law amendment because of that. They want to, you know, Baptists have always said that only men serve as pastors. This I don't care about so much. Baptists for a long time said deacons ought to have governing authority in the church, but, you know, whether... That there's a whole lot of Baptist churches whose history and identity is deacons with governing authority, men who are not qualified to govern the church governing the church, which, by the way, is just as wrong as having women who are not qualified to govern the church governing the church. As my friend Peter Hester said, if you try to govern the church and God has not called you to that, and you are not qualified for it, then you are trying to do something he has not given you the grace to do. It's not going to work. So, anyways, I say all that to say that I don't care so much about upholding Baptist history and identity. I care about what the scriptures say. and how can we be more clear about what the scripture says, and how can we ensure that future generations will be in a position, be put in a position by us to stand on the scriptures as well. So others, though, do oppose this. So it's not universally supported, not at all. In fact, there are some big names, some big movers and shakers in SBC life who do not support the law amendment. For example, like J.D. Greer. J.D. Greer says, we should not be using the Constitution to do this. The reason that he opposes it is that he says, hey, listen, man, we've got other ways that we could deal with this. But when it comes to the Constitution, and it comes to the what you know, the criteria we're using to say whether or not a church is in friendly cooperation or not, let's just focus on our core beliefs as Southern Baptists. Let's allow more latitude and autonomy in how those beliefs are applied at the local church level. And he says that he doesn't oppose the amendment for theological reasons, but for constitutional ones. Here's a quote from him. Advocates of the amendment have expressed a desire to see support of complementarianism clarified and strengthened in our convention, and I support that. So he's saying, I'm a complementarian, which definitely I think J.D. is. This is a wrong mechanism for that. He's saying we shouldn't be using the Constitution for this. My thing is, by changing the Baptist faith and message last year, to say office of pastor, elder, overseer is limited to men as qualified by Scripture, by being clear as we can be in Article 6. If it is so important to us that we would change Article 6 of the Baptist Faith and Message, then aren't we saying there's not latitude in how you would go about applying, you know, scriptural beliefs about the office of the pastorate in your church? Not on the issue of whether or not a man or a woman's going to serve, and not on the issue of whether or not a qualified man is going to serve. We're going to say qualified men only. It's the only people serving. I'm getting a drink of water. Give me one moment. When you record podcasts alone, there's no drinking time. No drinking time. Just talking and talking. All right. So, yeah, I don't think that there is latitude on this issue. Therefore, let's amend the Constitution. That's where I would disagree with J.D. on that. The autonomy of the local church is being transgressed. That is another that's another objection you will hear, that this is going to be weaponized to kind of go around policing churches and forcing churches out of the convention. And you know, what do you do if there's like a church who they're calling a woman a woman's pastor, the woman is being called a pastor, the woman doesn't view herself as a pastor, the church doesn't really view her as a pastor in the sense that she's not functioning as an elder or doing elder things. She just holds this title, but she's pretty much just directing an area of ministry and doesn't have governing authority in the church. She's not preaching on a Sunday morning, anything like that, right? And there are people saying this is going to be weaponized, and they're going to be going around headhunting churches like that. And this is where I would turn to an article that was written, again, by Heath Lambert from FBC Jacksonville. And he says, this debate is not about running good churches out of the convention who are confused about who a pastor is. This amendment is not targeting churches who ignorantly and innocently give the title of pastor to a woman. The same section of the Constitution, which would forbid churches with female pastors, also forbids racism, homosexuality, and sexual abuse. The Credentials Committee, which investigates constitutional violations like these, has the authority to engage erring churches and give them the opportunity to repent. This same engagement and opportunity would be possible on the issue of female pastors. So, what Lambert is saying is this is not about going around and finding churches who have made an innocent or ignorant misstep in the area of applying the title of pastor at all. That if a church is in a situation like that and they were to be confronted for one reason or another, and they go about and they go, oh, Yeah, I guess we need to change this in order to be in line with the Baptist faith and message. Then it's fine. And in fact, what's happened is that church is functioning now in a more healthy way. So that's just fine. This is being aimed at the church who says, we're hiring a woman as a pastor. We know what a pastor is, and we believe that a woman can be qualified to be a pastor as governing authority in the church, regardless what the scripture says. Or we interpret the scripture to mean this, therefore we believe that a woman can be the pastor. So that is what the amendment is aimed at. 1,000% that is what it is aimed at. And I think I do agree with what Lambert says toward the end of his article, which is, I do not believe Southern Baptists won a battle in the 1980s about biblical authority just to get to the 2020s and fight about whether we would obey that authority. I agree. I don't think that we fought the fight in the conservative resurgence to get here and to say that there is latitude in this area where we don't believe there is latitude. Is it going to be potentially sticky in some areas? Sure. Let's deal with the stickiness. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's deal with potentially unintended consequences that may come from the amending of the Constitution in this area, but dealing with those potentially unintended or intended consequences will be worth it because of what the amendment ultimately gains for us, which is what we went over toward the beginning. So that is my response to this whole idea of weaponization. Steve Besner has also... actually, it wasn't Steve Besner. I apologize. I just put that on Steve Besner. I was reading an article of his earlier. It was Rob Collingsworth from Criswell College said that people could use this to go beyond just whether or not it's a qualified, you know, is it a man, is it a woman, but they could start looking at the lives of certain pastors and saying if they were seen drinking a beer on Facebook or got a little hot-headed on Twitter, their church could be disfellowshipped from the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm sorry, respectfully to my brother Rob Collingsworth from Criswell College, and that's ridiculous. Like, that is not what this is about. You know, that's just, to me, that is sensational fanaticism. Like, or a sensational fantastical tale, I should say, not fanaticism. It's fantastical. So I think that there are fine objections that you can bring up to this. And if this thing does not pass because of those objections, I will continue to cooperate in a friendly manner as a Southern Baptist. But it should not pass because we think the lives of pastors on social media are going to be policed because of the law amendment. That's just, to me, absurd. And then lastly, Bruce Frank, he says that the current mechanism that we have is the Credentials Committee. And he would say, hey, listen, like Baptist Faith and Message says, while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor, elder, overseer is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. And then... it says in the, you know, the actual SBC Constitution in Article 3 that we'll only deem a church to be in friendly cooperation with the convention and sympathetic to its purposes if it has a faith and practice which closely identifies with the convention's adopted statement of faith. So I think that a guy like Bruce Frank, who is one of the people running for SBC president, I think he would say, hey, guys, it's in the Baptist Faith and Message, and then the Constitution says you got to be closely identifying with the Baptist Faith and Message. That's enough. The Credentials Committee is the mechanism in place. We already have enough. We don't need this amendment. But I still hear what he's saying. I guess I still don't understand why. If you are a complementarian, you do have a problem with the latch on the door. If your only issue is, well, I think it's just unnecessary, you know. Well, I guess. I have a hard time finding, well, I just think it's overkill being a reason to not do it. I think that if you have good reason to believe that this will continue to be a major issue that could cause divisiveness for generations to come. A latch, an extra latch on the door to keep that forceful pressure of feminism from pushing in from the outside, I don't see the problem in it, right? Like, you just sleep a little bit easier at night knowing that that thief's not coming in that door. And I have no problem with us putting that latch on the door to sleep a little bit easier at night to make sure that these future generations will continue to function according to the scriptures when it comes to, you know, churches that are going to be in the Southern Baptist Convention. So that's why I will support the law amendment. But again, if it doesn't pass, I won't lose my head. And I do think that it would be absurd for people to really throw rocks at each other over this. And it's happening. I know it's happening. I mean, go on Twitter and you see people fighting and they're acting ridiculous. And but this debate, and this is something that Lambert says in his article, and I think it's good, is that this debate is not about who is complementarian and who's not complementarian. There are many faithful leaders who believe that a pastor is a man who is qualified, according to what we see in 1 Timothy and in Titus, and who believe in, you know, who have complementarian convictions, right, when it comes to gender roles in the church, who don't support the law amendment. Plenty of them. Plenty of them. And so I think for us to just, if you are a supporter of the law amendment, to go, if you don't support it, you're a liberal, just a flaming liberal. Well, that's a bit much. It's not just a bit much. I think it's wrong, and I think it's divisive talk. You're mischaracterizing a brother, right? But if you're on the other side and you're like, if you support the law amendment, you're just a chauvinist who wants women to never speak, right? Wants women just to live a life, you know, where they do nothing but cook and clean and teach the children in Sunday school, and they never do anything else, right? No, that's ridiculous as well. That is also a mischaracterization of good brothers and sisters. There's going to be people who fall on both sides of the law amendment who have complementarian convictions and who agree on an overwhelming majority of things when it comes to the Bible and life and godliness and all that is contained in that. So I hope that we don't rip each other apart over this, and yet these are important matters, and they must be discussed, and they must be debated, and they must be voted on, and they will be in Indianapolis in just a few weeks. All right, with all that said, Christian, I hope you are doing well. How is your soul? How are you doing? How has God's grace been at work in your life recently? How would you like for His grace to be at work in your life? Where are you dissatisfied spiritually? If you consider these questions and you say, man, I need to talk to a pastor, I want to talk to a pastor, reach out to us at connect@seafordbaptist.com. We will either help you connect with your pastor, help you connect with a pastor in your area, or if you are here in our church or you are local to us, you don't have a local church, we would be happy to talk to you. Connect@seafordbaptist.com. We'll look at SBC presidents next week. Until then, keep living the pilgrim life.